So I see, Baruch Hashem, many newcomers returning. We have kind of been on, I would say, a bit of an arc, a journey over the course of these weeks and months, studying, on the one hand, each week, every Monday is a different topic, it's a different unit. On the other hand, there is a little bit of an overall development. So many weeks ago, we spoke about an analogy of health, personal health, that there are individual health plans and then there are general health, right, guidelines. So for example, if somebody has a checkup with their physician, so they would expect, of course, that there are going to be certain standard things that their physician will tell them. You know, you have to eat correctly, and you'll have to exercise and brush your teeth and floss. So all these things, everybody's going to get the same prescription. And then there are the particulars of any individual whose health regimen is going to reflect their personal situation. So let's say they have, some people have cholesterol challenges, and that's just the way that their bona shalom created their biology. Some people have challenges that they get cavities without eating any sugar, or people have all kinds of things. And so our physician, our medical provider is going to tell us, well, for you, this is what's important. You know, it could be that for somebody else, this is totally not an issue. But for you, it's an issue. And so you need to treat it, you need to address it in the way that relates to you. And so it doesn't really matter whether everybody else is talking about this or doing this or addressing it, because for you it's important. So we spoke about that in terms of avoda klolis and avoda pratis, that there are recommendations, there are spiritual recommendations that are universal, and then there are ones that are particular. So at that time, a couple of months ago, we talked about themes related to general avoda klolis, general development. And then the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about mitzvos in general. So everybody, we all put on the same mitzvos. We all have the same, we put on the same socks and the same hats and the same mitzvos. The externals look the same. But within mitzvos, we know there are personal elements. And kind of that will segue us to this section of the Ali Shur, where Avoda introduces, he says here, the psicha la avoda pratis, the introduction to the personal work. Yoser mor me'asher basha'arim hakodmim, more than in previous gates, in previous sections, anu nichnasim b'shar ze l'soch olameinu hapanimi. We are now entering into our internal world. Hein tsa'adeinu harishon ba'avodaseinu hapratis hu lilmod ki ani zeu olam malei. Our first tsa'ad, our first step in this personal work is to learn that the ani is a whole world. Ein ha'ani rak osef tguvot al ha'misrachesh michutzalo. Ani, I am not just a collection of responses. Tguva means a response on that which is happening outside of me. And va'osef she'ifos l'masha chutz mimenu, and a compilation of drives and desires and ambitions. Lo ha'ani atzmo hino olam hachai chayim atzmiim. They live independent living. So there are several ideas that could be unpacked from this one short statement. The first, which is the most direct of what Rav Volbe is trying to say, which is that we need to define ourselves on our own terms. I think it was the Kotzker, the Rav Menachem Mendel of Kotzk, Rav Menachem Mendel Morgenstern, one of the great Hasidic masters, who said that if I am I because you are you, then I am not I and you are not you. But if I am I because I am I and you are you because you are you, then you are you and I am I. Do I define myself just vis-a-vis other people? Or do I define myself internally as an essential self? That's what Rav Volbe is putting out there on the first level, and that is a very deep question. Now, how do we think about ourselves? Is it in relation to other people? Well, sometimes that's true, but sometimes it needs to be much deeper. If you think about it, maybe this is what Rav Soloveitchik would call the distinction between ethics and etiquette. This is a word that a lot of people say from Rav Soloveitchik on the distinction between shame and yefes. Both shame and yefes saw their father disgraced. Noach was in the tent and he was in a very compromised state. But the Torah describes that it was specifically shame, vayikach, shame, vayefes, esasimla. Because it could have said vayikhu, and they both took, but it doesn't say vayikhu. It says vayikach. So the commentaries note, like very often happens in a project, vayikach shame, shame went to take a blanket to cover him because it was a disgrace, and yefes tagged along. So it's a nice thing to tag along. It was a good thing. He did the right thing. But he didn't initiate it. So Rav Soloveitchik describes the difference between ethics and etiquette. That etiquette is what is socially acceptable. So if his older brother, Shame, is helping out, he's going to take care of his father. So it doesn't look right, you know, like everybody's sitting at the table and three people get up to clear the table, and that one person is just still like sitting there, Shabbos lunch. They're still waiting for the dessert. You know, it's pasnish. It's not right. Etiquette dictates everybody else got up. You should also get up to clear the table. That's basic etiquette. That's because everybody else got up to clear the table. But then there's another level, which is ethics. That is an internal moral compass that exists irrespective of others. It means even if nobody else is there, I'm going to clear the table. It means Yefes said to himself, look, Noach is in his tent. No one's seeing him. What's the big deal? Leave him alone. If Shame is going to do it, so of course I shouldn't sit there if he's not going to do it. But Shame says, no, this, even if nobody sees him because he's inside his tent, it's not respectful for him on his own, on an ethical level, on a personal level. It's wrong. So he explains that's what Rashi quotes from Chazal, that they each received a separate gift, a separate reward from Hashem for that. But the point is that etiquette is determined socially. Well, what everybody else is doing, if that's what everybody's doing, generally speaking, meaning from something that's correct, not following the herd for something that's wrong, but if that's what other people are doing, that's what I'm going to do. But ethics means I do it because I know internally it's the right thing to do. And it has nothing to do with anybody else. So we need to define ourselves based on the measure of ethics, of internally. And it's a very challenging avoda. I once spoke to a woman. She lives here, not too far from here. And she is a professional leadership coach. So we were talking, and she had a very interesting observation. I was describing to a certain scenario, a certain thing that happened. So I don't know if this ever happens to anybody else. I sent an email. Well, maybe that email was sent a little bit too hastily, you might say. Maybe it was CC'd to 11 too many people. Whatever, one of those kinds of emails. So I was discussing this situation with this person. And she said to me, which was a very interesting question that I hadn't thought of. She said, well, why did you send that email? Well, I said, well, because I had this and this issue that needed to be addressed. So I sent the email to address that issue. She said, no. You really have to ask yourself, why did you send the email? What was motivating you to send the email on that issue? What were you afraid of? You were afraid something was going to fall apart. You thought it was going to look bad on you. You thought, you know, you were going to... What was it that was really motivating you? And that question was a very profound question. You know, before I send an email, I need to ask myself, not just why am I sending this email, but, well, what is the internal motivation? Sometimes, are we sending an email? Are we going through life because it has nothing really to do with us? But it's what Ravolbi is saying, they're just...
Tguvos al hamitrachesh michutzalo.
It's just a way of responding to something external. It's not really because I have confidence in myself and I need to address an issue in a certain way. It's because, well, either because I feel that I have low self-esteem or I feel out of control or whatever it is. But is it because of me or is it because of them? Why am I doing what I'm doing? Is it because I'm just such a people pleaser, right? Or fill in the other description that I do this. And then what happens is when I do that more and more, what happens is then I start to shape my ani, not based on myself, my own values, my own identity, who I am. I start to shape it based on everybody else. Because the only way I run my life is always asking myself, or not asking myself, but it's deep down. It's this kind of internal voice that says, well, what is that person going to think? So I'm sending this email because how is it going to play with that person? How is it going to relate to this other person? And I've lost my sense of self, my identity. What he calls the chayim atzmiim. And that's a very sad thing. And so Rav Volbi then says, he says on the next paragraph, Meirov b'neha adam ne'elam kalil olam pnimise. For most people, this internal life is totally lost. It's a pretty bold statement. But it's a very challenging question. How much of my life is my olam pnimi, and how much is it just a response to the outside? And it's not just how I dress and how I act. It's how do I think? What is motivating that email? What is motivating that decision? Is it because of others or is it because of me? This goes back, according to a beautiful teaching, a very profound teaching of Rav Kook and Orot, all the way back to Adam HaRishon. So we know that Adam HaRishon made a big mistake. A big mistake by eating from the Eitz HaDaas. So in a short paragraph, in the way that Rav Kook relates to this state Eitz HaDaas, it's really fascinating. Because he quotes a pasuk in the beginning of the book of Yechezkel, where Yechezkel has a prophecy and he's on a river in Babylon. He's in the Jewish community in exile after Nebuchadnezzar smashes the first base of Mikdash and sends everybody into exile. And the verse quotes, he says, Va'ani besoch hagola. That's the pasuk. Yechezkel says, I'm having a prophecy, I have a vision of Hashem Yisbarach, and I, Va'ani besoch hagola, which literally means, I am in exile. I'm with the Jewish people living in Babel, Va'ani besoch hagola. Says Rav Kook, no. You have to translate that differently. Va'ani besoch hagola means, my sense of self, my ani, is in exile. My ani is in exile. So he says, what happened to Adam HaRishon? Adam HaRishon made a huge mistake. He got distracted. He lost his moral compass. He forgot. I don't know what happened to him. That's a long discussion, what happened to him. But what did the Rabbona Shalom say to him? God, so as whatever it means, he was mishallowed. There was the word of Hashem came out to Adam HaRishon. The Rebbe Shalom spoke to him. The first time the Rebbe Shalom spoke to him. And what did he say to him? One word. Anybody remember? What was the one word that Hashem said to Adam HaRishon after he made the mistake? That's it. Ayeka. So what does Ayeka mean, literally? It means like, where are you? Rav Kook says that Ayeka is really a contraction for, where is Aye, Efo, the Ani Shalcha? Where's your Aleph? Where's your sense of self? Where are you? What happened? Somebody whispered in your ear that, you know, next door there's something good, and you just went like, you know. Where are you? And you know what the saddest thing is, says Rav Kook? That Adam HaRishon did not know how to answer. That's the saddest thing. That because he had betrayed himself, his personal mission, his life's goal, when the Rabbeinu Shalom said, where are you? What did he say? He said, she did it. What does that have to do with you? Where is yourself? He immediately externalizes the problem.
He doesn't own it. He doesn't say, I'm a somebody. I made a mistake. I did something wrong. He says, oh, Ha'isha, and then the clincher. The clincher is, Ha'isha shenasata imadi. You gave me the woman. Now, it's true.
The Gemara in Brachos gives us a very good excuse. A lot of times we do averus, so the Gemara says, don't worry, one of the Amoraim said to the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's not our fault, it's your fault, because you gave us the Yetzirah. The Gemara says that's like a shtickle excuse. So it's not a totally bad excuse for other Rishon, but the bottom line is, he did not own it. So Rav Kook says, what did he lost? What had he lost? He lost his sense of self. He lost his ani.
And isn't that the saddest thing? The ani is besoch hagola. The ani is in exile.
So Rav Volbe says, when we talk about avoda pratis, we need to go back to the ani, because for a lot of us, and sometimes it's at different points in our life, sometimes we are in a certain circumstance where somehow we just turn around and we say, va'ani besoch hagola. My ani is nowhere to be found. That person that I'm looking at in the mirror, that does not reflect ani. I know exactly what that feels like now. When I look in the mirror, I say, wait a second, that is a 70-year-old, that's Hare Ani Kaven Shivim Shana. That is not ani. So that's like on a very superficial level. That's where Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says to his wife, this is what happens to me. But on a deeper level, when the person looks in the mirror and they can't answer the Ribbono Shel Olam asking them every day, Ayeka, where are you? I don't know who I am. So he says that's a huge problem. Rov b'nei adam, most people, chayim es chayim b'kivun el ha'olam achitzoni. And what happens? Vehem mefachadim, they are afraid. La'afoch es kivun chayihem p'nima. And they are afraid to turn their lives internal. What? It's interesting. Rav Kook doesn't say this, you can take it or leave it. But what does Adam HaRishon say after he blames Chava? He says, Va'ira, I was afraid. I was afraid. I was hiding because I was afraid. What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? You're afraid because you lost yourself. So now you have to hide in the trees and find twigs and fig leaves. What are we afraid of? If we're true to ourselves, then we don't have to be afraid. It doesn't mean that everybody is the same. It means we have to be true to our atzmius, which he's going to develop over the next couple of weeks, how we frame that. They are afraid. People are afraid, la'afoch es kivun chayim, to take the direction of their life and turn it inward, el atzmam, to themselves. V'lo rak l'shah, says Rav Volbe, even if it was just for an hour, for a moment, let's take a step back. Imagine we were out of ourselves, because so often, I can speak for myself, I find that I get caught up in a circumstance. And that circumstance, it's an honest-to-goodness challenge. This is what the Baal HaTanya writes about in one of the chapters of the Tanya. He doesn't talk about the inner city mashal, but somebody who is raised in a suburb on the south side, in a context, in a culture of gun violence with no role modeling and with no opportunities, that's a very difficult thing to overcome. So the Baal HaTanya, the Alter Rebbe, doesn't talk about that, but he talks about it in a spiritual vein. He says it is hard for somebody who's not raised in a milieu where it lends itself to spirituality. He says it's hard. So sometimes we beat ourselves up, but sometimes it actually is very hard for different people in different contexts, whatever that looks like for every individual person. But when we get into that space, when we are stuck in that box, Rav Volbe says, maybe take 1 minute to step out and say, wait a second, I don't know how I got here, and I don't know where I'm going. Let's just figure out who I am right now. Where's my ani? That's what we got to figure out. Where's my ani? I'm in this predicament. I don't have a good solution. That's okay. We'll deal with the solution tomorrow. But right now, where's my ani? Be'ikar, he says, the main thing, mitoch slida b'fnei ha'olam hanistar v'hazar shalatzman. He says, sometimes the reason why we live externally and not internally is because we don't really even know ourselves, or we're afraid to get to know ourselves. Oftentimes, when we look in the mirror, it's not a pretty picture.
So it makes us uncomfortable. When we do a cheshbon ha-nefesh, sometimes it doesn't, you know, we look in that mirror, it doesn't always look so great. So you know what we'll do? Instead of really focusing internally on who we are, we will externalize it. And so what Rav Volbi is telling us on the first step of this journey is to think about what we are, how we define ourselves internally. And the next step, he says, is zos va'od kulonu trudim ba'olam ha-maisa. That part of the challenge here is that we're very occupied with the world of action. We're worried about the things that we have to do. Already this morning, I had to negotiate with one child that they should go to school. Then I had to get to Shacharis, not so on time. Then I had to drop something off at the Chesed Fund. Then I had to pick something up at the cleaners. Then I had to... There's a lot of stuff to do. So when we're doing, we're caught up in a world that is easily drawn outside of the panemius, outside of the internal, especially because we want to do it well. I want to be able to text my wife before the shiur and say, I already got to the Chesed Fund and to the cleaners. I want to be able to do that. But this is the rub which that executive coach was talking about, which is why. Why do you want to send that text? What are you trying to validate by doing that? And it's difficult because it is tempting in the Olam HaMaisa. So we'll conclude with this mashal. There's a book that was given to me by someone. It's called The Road to Character by David Brooks.
I recommend it highly.
Nice book, right?
Great book.
Okay. So The Road to Character by David Brooks talks about two kinds of virtues. And that, I think, relates to this comment about Maisa and brings it back to ourselves. He talks about resume virtues and eulogy virtues. Resume virtues relate to what Rav Volbi would call the Olam HaMaisa, the world of action. What does it say on your resume? How many degrees you have, and how quick you can compute various things, and how many errands you can get done, and how many events you can run, and all the resume virtues. Those are in the Olam HaMaisa. But the challenge is that the resume virtues oftentimes don't really come from a place of the Olam HaPnimi. They come from the world of action. So I want to list all the things that I can do. But those things that I can do don't necessarily reflect an inner self. They don't necessarily have anything to do with the Olam HaPnimi, the person's true self. He says those are what he calls the eulogy virtues. I really hope that after 120 years, nobody says about anyone, you know, they could get to the Chesed Fund and the cleaners before 9 o'clock. If that's where it ends, that's where it ends. Right? Right? That's a problem. That's a problem if all we have at the end, by the time our kids are all grown up, the only thing we can say to ourselves is, we were never late for carpool. Right? Or when our friends think about us, all they can think about is a resume virtue. That they respond to emails very quickly. You know, they're always on their phone. As opposed to the essence, the Olam HaPnimi, what is really inside of a person, those are the eulogy virtues. That's what David Brooks is trying to get us to think about. And that's what Rav Volbi is trying to get us to start thinking about, which is, how do we orient our values? How do we define ourselves? What does it mean to be ani? What does it mean to be true to ourselves? The ani, which is easily besoch hagola, specifically because of the Olam HaMaisa, Rav Volbi says, I think. I think this is what he's getting at. It's that because there are a lot of good things about the resume virtues, we do need to do all those things. It's just that we can't get resume virtues confused with eulogy virtues. We can't get confused with doing things as the same as being something. Those are not the same. Because it's easy that the doing things becomes about something else or about somebody else. The ideal is that when we do all the things that we do, all the decisions that we make, all of the resume virtues that they have, they come from an olam apnimi, from an inner world, from an inner self. It doesn't mean that we don't think that those things are important. Of course they're important, right? We have to call that person or take that person to the doctor or, you know, send that email. We have to do all the things. The question is, where is it coming from? Is it coming from an olam apnimi, from the ani, from myself? Or is it because I have to do these things to match some other expectation that somebody put upon me, whether it's a family member or a society or whoever it is external to me, but it's not ani? Rav Volbi says, and this is the first step, he says, the psicha for avoda pratis is identifying that I have an ani, and that my goal is to make sure that the ani is at the center of my life, and that that is going to be what's driving me. And irrespective of whatever the circumstance is, it's going to be about the ani apnimi, the essential self on the inside. So that's the beginning of this new psicha. I hope you have a great week.